If you would, grab your Bibles, open to 1 Peter chapter 5. We have been in 1 Peter for the last 16 or 17 weeks, and today we will come to the end of 1 Peter. And throughout this time, we have seen that we are called to be different. Actually, because we are different, we see that there are different ways that we relate, different ways that we live out this life that he has called us to. And so Peter has done a great job writing this letter to a group of people who are persecuted, scattered because of that persecution. And he encourages them to endure in the faith, to even in the midst of trials, that they are to continue steadfastly in their walk with him. He challenges them to continue to look to the Lord and to trust him. He tells them that because they are different, and because they are called, they are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He tells them to be holy because he is holy. And he calls them that even in the face of that suffering, to do it for the glory of the Lord. So many times he has challenged them to have their minds not set upon themselves, but upon the things above. Oh, we have much to learn there, right? And so today this is the encouragement that he will give us as well. And so with that in mind, if you would, just in honor of the Word of God, if you don't mind standing as we read 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll start in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who has likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Father, as we have read your word, we ask that even as the challenge is given, that we will humble ourselves before you. And that, God, that we will set our minds upon things above, that we would realize the calling that you have on each one of us, and that we would trust you. Help us to understand that there is a battle. It is a battle that is raging all around us, and it is one that we are to engage in. And so help us to trust you and to seek you and to be obedient to you. God, we love you so much. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Here the challenge is to humble yourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore, it is pointing to the things that have previously been said. And so here he is actually continuing this call to be humble as he did in the verses just previous. He says, likewise, in verse 5, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so pride in our lives is one that causes us to think about self. It is all the time me caring for me, making sure that I have everything that I needed or that I need in the moment, or there are times in which God will call us to do something and then just pride will kick in and begin to say, well, I can't do that, I begin to worry about what someone else might think. And so here this call to humble yourself is a call that you and I would come to the end of ourself. It's where I will quit worrying about me and my needs and my wants, make sure I'm taken care of, and that instead I will look to the needs of others. It is also a call that I would put ourselves or put others ahead of myself in everything that I do. So if I come to the end of myself and then start to put others ahead of myself, then I will become humble. But even it's more than that, but I will be humble myself under the mighty hand of God. So if you're taking notes, a couple of things that I want us to see here is the first one is that you and I would come to know God, come to know who He is and what He has called us to do. Because in knowing God, then I'll be able to trust Him, I'll be able to look to Him, and we'll be reminded constantly of how powerful He is, that He has all power, and that He has all authority. So therefore, we'll trust Him. Otherwise, you and I are tempted to do all of this on our own. We're tempted to live this life and do it in our own strength, only step out in ways that are comfortable with me, and never actually fulfill the gospel because that will require too much faith. But if I humble myself, then I will realize that God can even use someone flawed, someone weak like you and me. And we'll trust Him. And so we'll step out and we'll grow in that. He has all authority. And so just a question that I want to ask. If you and I are people who have claimed to are followers of God, then what it means is that we believe that there is one God and that He created all things and that He sent His one and only Son to come and to die for our sins, and that now we can have a relationship with Him. If you and I believe that, then a question that I have is, are you passionately pursuing God with your life? Now let that sink in for just a second. Are you passionately pursuing God with your life? You know, I think Jesus, when He had His disciples, He's getting ready to go to the cross, when He taught them about the vine and the branches, and He tells them to abide in Me, He knew the need that you and I would have to stay connected to the vine, where we would get our power, we'd get our strength. And so the branch really has one job, and that is just to hold on, right? If the branch will hold on to the vine, then everything needed for life and for fruit and bearing fruit will come from that vine. And in the same way, because of what Jesus has done upon the cross, you and I now get to have a relationship with Him. You know, I think heaven is going to be awesome. And many times, heaven is always spoken of the great, how great it will be, the place. But I think in doing that, we miss the great blessing of heaven. And that is that God is there. You see, it's not because there's going to be gold streets or whatever my dwelling will be, a mansion or maybe even I would take a broom closet, right? But whatever heaven is like, but it's not what heaven is going to be that is the blessing. It is that God is there and we get to be there with Him. And so the blessing of being made new and being different and being transformed is that now you get to have a relationship with God. And that isn't for one day, but it's for now. And so seek Him, pursue Him, abide in Him, spend time with Him. I've told you from the beginning that I've been here is to plan and protect time with God. Call to Him, spend time with Him, allow Him to transform you. Number two, not only are we to know who God is, but we are to trust His timing. As He's writing to Christians who are enduring trials and suffering, we are to trust His timing. Look at what it says here in verse 6. He says, to humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. At the proper time. In other words, we trust His timing, not our own. There are so many times throughout life I wanted God to do whatever I needed Him to do, but right then, right? We kind of live in that microwave generation where we throw it in. You know, we can eat in 2 minutes most of the time. Usually it's a minute, 2 minutes it gets too hot. But we can throw it in and have our food, and we expect God to work like that in many ways. We throw our prayers up to God and then get mad when they don't happen right then. And that can be confusing at times. And one of the things that I believe that here He's trying to help us to understand is that when we trust God and see Him as who He is, we will gladly humble ourselves before Him because His timing is better than ours. And we can trust Him. And so we look to Him. So humble yourselves. It's not about you. It's about him. Number three, he says in verse 7 that we are to cast, he says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. This word anxiety is a word that means our cares or our worries or our fears. We're to cast them upon the Lord. And that's really hard for us to do, to humble ourselves in that way, because that means anything that I'm worried about, I look and run to the Lord. And the problem with that is then we start to think about, well, then who's going to care for me? Who's going to take care of what I need? And this is what's so beautiful about this verse, is he says, casting your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So God on high, as we humble ourselves before him and live our lives for him, he alone will care for you. Isn't that beautiful? And this is the promise that he has, that even the trials and the sufferings that you face, they're going to be temporary, because even if it means that he brings you on to eternity, your trials and your sufferings will be over with. But his promise is that he's right there with you. And so the reality is, in the midst of all of this, there is a battle that is waging. And it is one that is waging right now. And so can I have all the kids? If you're here with your parents this morning, you kids, we'll say, I don't know, 2 up to 5th grade. Is that right? 2 up to 4th or 5th. I don't care. All of you, come on up. Come on up real quick. Whoever wants to. Some of you big kids, you can come too. I don't care. You guys, grab a seat right here with me. Wow, there is a bunch of you guys. You guys look good today too. You want to come up and sit with me? You want to sit with me? No? I scared her. I scared her, didn't I?
Yeah.
I did, yeah.
I want to sit with you.
You can sit right here. How about that? Okay. All right. You guys want to sit down? You want to come sit down? All right. So when I think about, I told you that there is a battle. When I think about that, did you know that there is a guy who wrote where we're reading at today, and his name is Peter? And Peter, one time, Jesus was talking to Peter, and he asked all of his disciples, you know what he asked them? He says, hey, who do people say that I am? And they answered many different things. They said, well, some think maybe you're Elijah or John the Baptist or one of the other prophets. And then he says, who do you say that I am? So who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? Anybody? Yeah, who is Jesus? Oh, that is right. High five. The man of God. I like that. Someone else. Who is Jesus? This is what Jesus asked. You already answered. Put that in. Yes, sir. That's right. The one who took our sins away. And so Peter answered much the same as you guys did. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what Jesus told him? He said, Simon Peter, he says, this was not revealed to you by man, but it was by God. And I love that. Did you know that not very long after that, Jesus is telling his disciples, and it may even been in the same setting, it's found in Matthew 16, he told his disciples, he said, hey, I'm getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and the people, the leaders, they're going to arrest me, and then they're going to kill me, and he says, but I'm going to raise again. And you know what Peter did? He stood up and he says, no, this will not happen. I will not let this happen to you. And Jesus told him, he says, Peter, he said, get behind me. And he called him Satan. He said, get behind me, Satan. And so when Peter said that Jesus, you are the Christ, Son of the living God, this is a voice that was given by God. And so let's call it the voice from above. Can you guys say that? Voice from above. All right, let's do it all the same. Right? 1, 2, 3. Voice from above. Voice from above. That's awesome, because it was the voice of God. But then in the next conversation, Peter said something that was against God and was against his plan. And so we can call that the voice from below. Can you say that with me? Ready? 1, 2, 3. The voice from below. And so that is true for all of us. There is this battle waging all the time. I know. They didn't all say it, did they? That's right. We'll work on it. Maybe they'll get better at it, right? And so this is true for all of us, and it's a battle waging all the time, that we have truth that comes from the Lord, that comes up in our hearts, and we can recognize it as truth, the voice from above, But at the same time, there will be things that come into our heart that are selfish, that are self-centered, and have our mind set upon the things of the earth, and they will come from the voice from below. All right? Yeah. Kids, you guys did a great job. Let's give them a hand. All right, can you guys go grab a seat? Thank you so much for your help. You need some help. Where are you sitting at? Can I help you? Where are you sitting at? You going with mommy? Okay. All right. So, parents, adults, there are in our lives the same. We have all the time the voice from above which comes and acknowledges the truth of God's word. And the Holy Spirit will lead us in that way many times. But in the same way, just as Peter experienced, there is the voice from below. And it will come, and I think Peter felt like he was doing what was right in his own mind. And he was zealous, and he says, no, this isn't going to happen. And Jesus literally called him, Satan, get behind me. And so there's this battle that is waging. And here in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter himself, who dealt with these situations now, is talking to us about this battle. And in verse number 8, he says, he gives us some instructions. And the first one is, he says, be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. The sober-minded is that we would be alert, we would be awake, that we wouldn't be influenced by something else. That's where sober is. The opposite would be drunk, where your mind is influenced by something else. And then he says to be watchful. This word watchful means that that we would look out for potential dangers or temptations. And so here's what he's saying. He's saying, be awake, be alert, and be watchful, be looking. And you say, why? Why has he given us these instructions like that? And he tells us right here, he says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. There is an adversary who is coming, and he is coming, and he is all the time trying to get us to believe lies, to turn from what is true. John 10:10 says he came to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we need to understand that there's an enemy. A couple of scriptures that point out about the reality of this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but have the power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You see, as these thoughts or information comes to our heart, and even sometimes the selfishness of situations, when they come, we hold them captive and we ask, Lord, does this go along with your truth, your word of God? You see, a lie will affect us as though it's true if we believe that it's true. Lindsay is terrified of June bugs. And so I remember one time we had run through the, she loves when I bring this up, by the way, too. And so one time we had run through a doorway at night, you know, lights are on, and so June bugs were everywhere. And we ran to the car as we were headed back home from wherever we were at. And so I usually mess with Lindsay, but I've just learned not to mess with her with this, okay? But the girls had not learned that all the way quite yet, okay? So as we're going, Lindsay's driving, and the girls reach up and mess with her hair. Now, in that moment, they are trying to get Lindsay to believe a lie, right? But this lie that there is a June bug in her hair affected her in that moment as though it was true. Because while we're going down the road, she takes both hands off of the wheel. She is going after that thing, right? I have to reach over and make sure we're not going to die. But the point of that is here it was a lie, but it affected her as though it was true. Now you compound that to each one of our lives. The enemy is all the time speaking lies. Like the Bible says, this is his native language. He is all the time speaking lies to you. You can't. You won't. You're not good enough. You're a failure. You're too weak. You've sinned too much. All of these are lies that the enemy constantly tells us. You're not good enough. You remember what you did last week? That's disqualified you. You know, and all of these things all the time. And so it gets us to start believing this identity that is spoken by the liar instead of who we are in Christ and who he has called us to be. And so here, he even says that the enemy prowls around like a lion. This is a metaphor that is appropriate because just like a lion, the enemy will attack suddenly. He will do it viciously and often to unsuspecting prey. When you watch the National Geographic and things like that, it's always the animal that's like doing routine, right? It's going down, it's eating out in the field. It gets a little too close to this bush where the lion is at. Or it's the one who is hurting, right? He's going through trials. He's limping along. Or it's the one that's just at the water, right? Drinking. And that's the one, the lion. And in the same way, we must be awake. We must be alert, must be watchful. Because we have an enemy that's trying to get us at the same time. And so we look to him. And so as we look at how we are to live, we are to, verse 9 tells us that we are to resist the devil. And in doing this, we depend on God for the battle because he is our truth. It is the word of God that is our solid foundation. And so we trust him and we run to him and we abide in him. Something here that I want you to see here in verse 9, he says, not only are we to stand firm in our faith as we trust God, but we are to knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. It is very encouraging that we know that we are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone because God, in the greatest of encouragement he could give you, tells you that he is with you. But there is also great encouragement that you are not alone, that whatever trial, whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever is going wrong with your kids, whatever sin that you're involved in right now, whatever mistake you've made in the past, that there are other brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone just right through that. If you've lost a loved one, man, brothers right here sitting who have gone through that. If you're facing persecution because of standing up for a believer, which is the context of what he's writing this in, that there are brothers and sisters who are enduring right now, it is helpful that you and I know that throughout the world right now, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who fear for their lives every day and yet are obedient to Christ and faithful. And you and I, we don't face persecution in that way, and yet we fold and cower at just the thought that someone may look at us differently. You see how encouraging it is to know that we're not alone. And so we are to stand firm. We're to stand firm. I love what 1 Peter 5, 10, and 11 says. It says, and after you have suffered a little while, remember it's temporary, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. As you suffer for a little while, we have a God who will restore. We have a God who will confirm and strengthen and establish. Remember, we trust him because his timing is best. We trust him because his ways are better than our ways. And that means, listen, that whatever trial, suffering, whether it's self-inflicted or based upon your obedience to the Lord, I want to tell you that we have a God who takes what Satan has designed for harm or evil and uses it for his glory. And so you and I are called to be different. We're to be different for the glory of our God. Here's the deal, is many times we hang our head in guilt and shame instead of trusting God for victory. And in doing so, what we do is we rob him from the glory of changing our lives. Look at it. I mean, throughout Scripture, men and women who have gone through suffering or even in ways that the enemy meant to bring harm and yet God used for his glory. I think of Job. Here the enemy took everything from Job, all trying, even sent people who he loved to say, hey, curse God, look what he's done to you. And yet Job was faithful. And so God restored, and only God could have got glory out of that. I think of David and how he sinned royally. I mean, he sinned a huge sin. I mean, things that you and I would never think possible that someone who was a follower of God would do. And yet, God, in his repentance, God made him a man after his own heart. I think of Paul, persecutor of Christians, and yet, because of meeting Jesus and the transformation that happened in his life, became the greatest missionary and Bible writer of all time. I think of the stoning of Stephen. Here you can just see the enemy rejoicing as Stephen is stoned because he stood and boldly professed Christ. And yet the persecution that broke out scattered the church. And so as the church went out, you know that the enemy was sitting there saying, yes, we've won. Look at them. They're running, scared and frightened. But what he didn't count on is as they were scattered, they preached the gospel, and churches were planted in cities all surrounding Jerusalem. I'm here to tell you that what the enemy means to harm and to bring evil in your life, God can transform and gain glory from. Amen? Even Peter, hear the writer. Jesus himself called him Satan, get behind me. Later he denied even knowing Jesus, distanced himself from the disciples. But then when the Holy Spirit came, it was Peter who stood and preached boldly. And 3,000, over 3,000 followed the Lord and were baptized that day. I'm here to tell you, God has a plan. And when we trust him, when we humble ourselves before him, listen, it gets ourselves out of the way. Then we can put the needs and the lostness of this world ahead of our own comfort, and we can trust the Lord to use us to do what only he can do, and then only he gets the glory from it. And so, in the way of application, there are a few things I want to challenge you with today. Number one, trust God and his plan. Listen, I don't know where you've come from and the struggles that you have right now, but I want you to know that you can trust God. You see, there is one God, and he is so good. He created all of us, created this earth, and he is a good God, but there's a problem. The problem is you are not good. You and I, we are sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, the Bible says that we deserve the wrath of God. The wages of sin is death. But there's hope. And the hope is that we have a God who loves us. And he sent his son to die on the cross for you and for me. And he tells us that if we will turn from our way of life, humble ourselves before the Lord, believe that he is God and that Jesus died in our place and rose from the dead, that you and I would be forgiven. Amen? We would be forgiven. Our sins would be forgiven. That we would be saved and we would be transformed and made into a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. This is the grace that we just sang about. It is the grace of God. And so, trust him. Call to him. Would you this morning believe in Jesus and what he has done for you? I tell you, he will change your life. He will make you new. Number two, be alert and watchful for the battle. Be alert. He tells us, be alert, be sober-minded, watchful for the battle because it is waging. We have an adversary who is all the time. So stand on truth. Seek the Lord. Plan and protect time with him and abide in him and walk with him. Trust in him along the way. Stand firm in your faith against the enemy, knowing that he is beat. Listen, we don't fight and are in this battle for victory. We're in this battle because the victory has already been won. Jesus has won. We know the end of the story. We know of the inheritance that is to come, and we trust him, and we stand on that trust. And then number four, share your victories and trials, all for the glory of God. I look across this room, and over the last 6 months, I've gotten to know and hear many of your stories. In this room, there are some of you who God has overcome addiction. God has helped you to overcome sin and struggles in your life. Some of you were headed down a path that was of great wickedness, and yet God has transformed your life. And here's the thing. So many times we go without proclaiming these. Share about what God has done in your life. Share about your mistakes, your failures. There's some of us in here who, listen, if I'm just going to be honest, you've had and been a part of adultery, and yet, listen to me, God has restored and redeemed, and that is deserving of proclaiming because of who you used to be, but now who God has made you. Some of you in this room have had some horrible struggles of addiction, and now you are set free, and these need to be proclaimed. I remember there was one time I was preparing our church to share testimonies, and so I was all talking about making sure you share your story, and then it just hit me as I was talking about what God has done in my life. This isn't my story. This is His story. He is the one who has come and changed me. He is the one who has opened my eyes to even see a need for Him. He is the one who has given strength to overcome. He is the one who has allowed me to change the cycle of my family. He is the one who has caused someone who was prideful and arrogant, who is all about what he accomplished, and made him someone completely different. This is God's story. And the same is true for you. The story that God has written in your life, I'm telling you, is powerful. And it is one that, if not careful, you will go your whole life and never proclaim. Proclaim it. It is powerful. There are people over the last even several weeks, even Alyssa, who gave her life to the Lord, gave her life to the Lord because of testimonies that were being shared. Last week, we shared and were a part of another baptism as Rocky gave his life to the Lord because of a testimony about what God had done was being shared. And so, this morning, I know this is going to be hard what I'm going to ask you to do, but I'm going to ask you, knowing that there is someone else here who is suffering through some of the same struggles. We come into church a lot of times thinking I'm the only one that suffers like this. I'm the only one in the midst of this trial. I'm the only one who sins. No. Oh, no. Don't believe that lie. I want to tell you, He has called us to be holy. And that is a process that we, by faith, walk with Him in and trust Him. And so I want to give you an opportunity. Will you, this morning, and you're going to have to listen to the instructions because they're going to be very specific. Would you be willing, in one sentence, this is the hard part, in one sentence, I was paralyzed by grief, but God has brought peace. One sentence. You hear that? I was addicted to whatever it was, but God has brought freedom. I was lost, but now I'm found. Is there someone, as we, all for the glory of our God and all for to brag upon His power, would there be someone in one sentence who would just be willing to say, I was this, but God has done this?
God taught me to forgive, which saved my marriage.
Amen. Amen. Hey, this is His story. Don't keep it to yourself. Proclaim Him. Someone else.
I was anxious and God brought overwhelming peace.
Amen. Amen. Someone else.
God had taught me to trust so that I could accept grace.
Amen.
Over here, Chen.
I was leaning on my own pride and my own abilities, and then God taught me to lean on not my understanding, but His.
Amen. Thank you so much. Someone else.
Fought addiction and anger, and God set me free and saved my marriage.
Amen.
I've been struggling with confusion, and God is slowly bringing me clarity.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
God revealed to me that I had put my children on the throne where He belongs.
Amen. Proclaiming. What else? His story. In the first service, there was a lady who stood up and she said, I was I had had an abortion, but God has shown me that he has forgiven me. Isn't that powerful? Someone else. Yeah.
I have tried to do things on my own, and I've learned that I have to trust the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I was once bound by shame and darkness, but have been brought to light through Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Someone else.
I heard a sermon, and it frightened me, and the preacher asked if I died tonight, where would I spend eternity, and I knew that night I would be in hell. Christ, that evening, gave me a peace of salvation that has never left.
Amen. Thanks, Gary.
I've learned in my weakness, he is strong, and he's faithful.
Amen. Thank you. So here we are, as we talk about how good he is and what he has done in our lives, there is a hurting world that feels like they're not welcome in a place like this. And the problem is because we sit so many times on our self-righteous seats, looking at them as being distant and broken and hurting and dark, and we're unwilling to go and to love on them and to share with them, that was me. I was right where you're at, but this is what God has done in my life. He has transformed me. He has shaped me. He has helped me to see that when I'm weak, I'm strong because of him. He's helped me to see that when I'm confused, he brings clarity. He's helped me to see that even when I've done something like abortion, he forgives and he restores. Listen, we have a God who will restore, who will confirm, who will strengthen, and who will establish. And this is the promise that you and I stand on. This is the gospel. Each one of us need grace. The only thing good in any one of us is Jesus. And it's only because of his grace. This is why you and I must be better about proclaiming his story and what he has done. This is why you and I must seek to love others who are even different than us. This is why he has caused us and called us to be different is all for his glory. Will you live in such a way that you'll bring glory to the name of Jesus? Let's get before the Lord. Father, we come to you today and are so thankful for your grace. We are all so undeserving of that. And God, I pray that you would help us to be proclaimers of your story, to be proclaimers of what you have done in our lives. And that, God, I pray that today would be a day of salvation where those here, Lord, would hear of your love and what you have done, and that, Lord, they would trust you, turn from their lives, turn from what they have been living for, and pursue you. And so, God, I pray in this time that you would speak to our hearts and help us to respond to how you would have us, help us to trust you, to be obedient. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.